Scripture, the book of Daniel this morning, the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Daniel, chapter number 3. If you don't have a Bible and you need one, you can raise your hand, we'll get you one, or you can see us after church and we'll put one in your hands. Daniel chapter 3 is where we'll be. Again, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to see you here this morning. Sure thankful for the Lord being here this morning. Singing sounded good, and I'm glad we've got one we can sing to this morning. I wasn't singing to you, and I hope you weren't singing to me, but I believe we was trying to make a joyful noise for the Lord this morning. Amen. I knew you'd amen me, Brother Danny. Daniel chapter 3, when you find your place, stand to your feet. I know Old Testament might take you a minute, but when you find your place, stand to your feet, read to honor the reading of God's Word. We're just going to read just a few verses. I got a thought, really a question. Bible question. I love those Bible questions. And I'll give you what the Lord has given me. Daniel in the 3rd chapter. A lot of you probably already read this chapter. You've known it since Sunday school. They've done it a lot in VBS. But it's very familiar scripture that it does us good to remind ourselves of it. Let's start with verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if it be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the psalter, psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Let us pray. Father, we love you this morning and we sure thank you for bringing us here one more time, this honor and privilege, Lord, that we can get in your house with your people. And God, we pray that you'd give us a touch from heaven this morning, that you'd breathe on us. God, I pray for the message that it would be yours, not mine. Use us as an empty vessel. Fill us with your spirit. God, I pray that you'd stir the hearts of your people today, God. I pray, Father, you'd help us to be closer to you than when we got here. And I pray, God, that you'd bless this week, the services, the revival, Brother Ken. But Father, we want to go ahead and pray for now and today. Would you move in a mighty way in this service? If there be one here that's lost, let them come to know you before it be too late. God, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you for the preaching of the gospel. I thank you for saving my soul. Help us, Father. And we know it's all possible through Jesus' march up Calvary's hill that paid our sin debt. Lord, would you just make preaching easy this morning. Anoint us and help us and hide us behind the cross. And we'll be careful to thank you for all you do and lift our hands up to glory and thank you. In Jesus' sweet name we do pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Daniel chapter number 3. There's a question here that I like, and it's got a phrase in it, and I probably added my second part to the question. But it comes out of verse 14 after Nebuchadnezzar had pulled these three Hebrew boys to the side. And just to back it up just a little bit, we know that he made a golden image. He had all these people here. Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted unity. He wanted everybody under one mind, one accord. And God wants us that way too, but Nebuchadnezzar had other ideas. You see, he made a golden image. Was it of one of his gods or was it of himself? I don't know. But if you read through there, it tells us that this image was probably 90 foot tall and 9 foot wide. And he wanted everybody to come together. And you know, when you get a bunch of people out together, they wanted everybody to bow at one time. I think he also wanted to bow because he had this image. But I believe he felt like he might bring him some kind of power to see everybody bow at what he did. And as we know through reading up the scriptures, and if you've been taught before, everybody bowed except for three young Hebrew boys. And you know they stood out, right? When you've got everybody in the room, and if everybody bows down but three people, you're going to notice the three people that stand. Now, why would they keep standing? Well, I believe their convictions wouldn't let them compromise this world. They were strong. They were, I guess you could say these boys had backbones of steel, I believe. They weren't going to bend.
They weren't going to bow. And as you see, they weren't going to burn. They wanted to stand for what was right. So the question I got out of this was, in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? Is it true? You boys ain't bowed. Is it true that you're not going to bend to my statutes? Is it true? So I asked my second part to the question, is it true? Will you say it? Is it true this morning? What about when this time comes to you? Please don't say, well, that's just a story happening in the Bible. This probably will never happen to us. Be careful what you say will never happen to us.
That's right.
I'm telling you, our country is as close as it's ever been to getting the wrong people in the wrong offices the way they're voting. They're getting a lot of Muslims in there. And then Muslims, they ain't serving the same God.
Right.
And they're going to pass their laws and their ways. And you know what? I don't understand all that. What gets them that way? How they're so brainwashed to what they are? But I'm telling you this, I know that my God is bigger than anything that anybody else can bring. And I started thinking about this, is it true? There's going to come a time when your faith is going to be tested and you're going to have to stand for some right things.
Right.
And you'll either stand strong, and I promise you when you stand strong, the Lord's going to stand with you. Or you're going to compromise with the ways of the world. And these boys had all kinds of excuses, any excuses that you want, they have. But I'm telling you today, they did not give in to peer pressure. They did not give in to the pressures of the world. They stood strong with convictions. They had something inside them that gave them the boldness, the perseverance to stand. That's what God had given you. And then you can almost hear it now from the three Hebrew boys that was standing centuries ago when they said, don't give in. Don't give out. And don't give up.
Amen.
Stand strong for God. Stay in this thing. It's going to be rough sometimes. A lot of times we wonder when the fire comes and you'll face furnaces today of hatred, furnaces of criticism, furnaces of temptation, furnaces of intimidation. You'll face all these things in your life. But what about when they come to you? Are you ready to stand? Are you ready to stand? Oh, it probably never happened in my life. I'm only up in years. I've probably seen everything I'm going to see. We don't know how much longer we've got. We don't know what's going to happen. What you say today? What if somebody comes to you today? What if somebody comes to your neighborhood? What if something happened at your job this week? And I'm telling you, God didn't give me this by no accident. There's somebody here in this church or some of us. We fixed to go through some fire trials. We might be fixed to be put in this furnace. And it might just be through your job. It might just be through your families or something that's going to happen. Might be something that's going to go on your neighbors. We don't know. We know God knows it all.
Amen.
And the thing God wants to know is, are you going to stand? Don't give in. Don't give in to this peer pressure. That's what them boys is telling us. Look through these verses right here. Don't give in. He said in verse 12 verses, they make the statue. When they hit all these musics and all this hit, everybody was supposed to bow. The little boy said, we ain't going to bow. We ain't giving in. And you know, like I told you, no, they had excuses. They could have said, well, the king appointed us. We owe it to him. Or, we'll bow on the outside, but we'll be standing strong on the inside. That's foolish.
Amen.
Well, we're in a foreign land. We'll have to go to their customs. Lord, understand.
Amen.
Well, we'll just bow this one time and ask for forgiveness. They had all excuses in the world they could have used. But they didn't. They said, we're going to stand. They was not going to give in to the peer pressure. And let me tell you something else they weren't going to get into. They weren't going to get into the peer pressure either.
Right.
When everything else was going wrong, and they knew what would happen. The king made a decree. He said, if they don't bow to this statue, he said, we'll throw them in a fire furnace. They knew if they didn't say it, they was going to die. That's what the decree was. And he couldn't change it. Once he made that decree, he was in there. That didn't get done right. Same thing. You might say it one time, but let me tell you something. You might have to be out of history for you. You might be ready to say it twice. They don't need you not right here. Are we sure you don't want to compromise to the world? Are we sure? Oh, it's not that bad. Well, everybody else is doing it. Ain't that the right thing that works? Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, I ain't no different than them. Well, I'm better than them, even though we do the same things. I go to church every time, so that must make me a better person. People didn't use that excuse. Oh, I read that in devotional every single day. I pick up my Bible and I'll read a verse or something like that. People make excuses for everything. You better be ready to say it when the time comes to say it.
Right.
Are you willing to say it when you think? Are you willing to say it? You better be ready to say it when you think. You better go ahead and make that decision. And you better get you some guts inside of you to tell you you're going to say it no matter what.
Amen.
They didn't give in.
Get you some God.
And they didn't give up. Didn't. I know they didn't give up, preacher. I love this chapter in the Bible. It's where you get you some help to get in this. Look right here in verses. Let's start in verse 15. Now it says, let you be ready when all this music hits. Right? He said, who's your God that shall deliver you? Then the verse, I meant 16, I'm sorry. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not careful. What is he saying there? He said, they don't need us to answer. Our answer ain't changing. You keep asking questions. We ain't going to change our answers.
Amen.
You see, they done knew that they could have had excuses. But let me tell you something about these three Hebrew boys. They can read your Bible over there where Moses had pinned it down in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, where it says, thou shalt have no other God before me.
Amen.
Them boys said, we know our Bible. We don't stand on that Bible. Well, we know how precious this is. We're going to say it.
Amen.
We don't need to keep asking us. You got to test out the time of hearts and say, we ain't giving in.
Amen.
We ain't going to bow to your statue. We know you appointed us. You've given us good jobs. You're looking out for us. You're providing for our family. You're keeping the roof over our head with that paycheck. What if they talk about cutting that out?
Yeah,
you going to bow to their ways? You going to bow to them? Are you going to stand for God?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You stand for God, you might have to go through some things in your life.
We do.
God will be there with you. He's going to provide everything that you need. The Bible says that He feeds the birds. He makes the flowers to grow. How much more are you than them? God created us out of His own image. He's going to take care of us.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you get everything you want. A lot of times we do. We get selfish. There's things we want. It ain't always about selfish, but there's things we see that we want. God said, I'll always take care of your needs. He'll meet the needs that we have. And these three boys in them. They said, we ain't giving in. And we ain't giving up. How do you know? Look what it says right here. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not. Boy, I love that right there. But if not. Their faith was not based on God's performance, on what God could do. Their faith was based on God alone in His mercy. He said, we know what we're going to do. We don't know what God's going to do. We know we can do it, but we don't know what He's going to do.
Right.
But we know what we're going to do. We're going to say it. And the fact is, in the face of death, we're going to stand for God no matter what you do for us. He said, we're going to say it. I'm talking about these three boys had made a commitment in their life. They didn't just say, well, we'll try to. And you know what else? Let me just touch this little nugget right here. This one little nugget. Hang on the train. All three of us stood together. There is great strength in real friendships in your life.
Amen.
You better lock arms with somebody and keep on going for God. You know why? Because they feed off each other.
That's right.
He can say and I can say.
Amen.
He can say and I can say. He go back, I go back. Yeah. They started to come together and they had such power with the three boys. I believe they locked arms and looked at each other and said, we're going on.
Amen.
We ain't going back. We're going to do it. That's why that verse in Hebrews is so important about forsaking not assuming yourself together. That's why church is so important. That's why you make a commitment to God first, your family second, and your church third. I might confuse some people, but that'll just be alright. God first, your family second, and your church third. Forsake not assembling yourselves together. Why is it so important for us to assemble together? Just like these three Hebrew boys did. And I believe they had church going on wherever they were standing at. They said, we are here to to encourage each other.
Right, yes.
If we go, we're going together. If we stand, we stand together. If we burn it up, we're going to burn it up together.
Amen.
Whatever we do, we're in this thing together. In church, me and you, we're in this thing together.
Right?
And I'm going to stand. You're going to stand with me.
Yes, thank you.
And when you stand, I'm going to be right there standing with you. We're going to stand together. There's great strength in your presence. But you know what's greater than that? There's great strength in God.
Amen.
He said, if it be not, we don't know what God's going to do with this. We don't know what's going to happen. Now let me tell you something. Peer pressure can be strong. There's times when I was guilty when I was growing up, and Brother Merle, I fell into that peer pressure. And it ain't your fault. It was my fault for allowing myself to get on it. It was my fault. But peer pressure can be a whole lot different than when that fear pressure comes. These boys were facing consequences. There was consequences to come, and they knew it. This was no surprise. There was nothing left behind door number 3 if they didn't want to stay. They knew exactly what was going to happen to them. They was going to die. 3 young Hebrew boys. They didn't say, well, we haven't made much of our life. Well, there's so much more that can go on. I don't know if they were married, they had kids. I don't even know their exact age. I don't know what they might have been sitting there and saying, we've got goals in life, so I'm sure this is what we want to do. We're at such a young age. But they said, we'll stand. Whatever it is, whatever our suffering's going to be, our eternal reward is going to be much greater.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what they said. Our eternal reward will be so much greater than what our sufferings are. Our sufferings are only temporary, but our reward is eternal. Our reward is eternal, Tommy. It's not temporary. We're going to go through some trials here that are temporary. But one of the best phrases in the Bible is, and this shall come to pass. It ain't here to stay. The bad times you go through, they ain't here to stay. It's coming to pass. Don't give in. And don't give up like his boys right here. Because then, don't give up. Once they didn't die, they had to face these consequences. Look what it says. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visage was changed to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it won't be healed. Hotter than they even regularly had. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He cast them into the burning fire furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hose and their hats and their other garments and cast in the midst of the burning furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace was exceedingly hot. The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Boy, God's already moving right here. Y'all notice that? He's already moving. Because you might already start thinking, how in the world did it take up those men and they got those 3 Hebrew boys yet? Well, let's just keep reading. Then Nebuchadnezzar, king of Sodom, and these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were bound up. Their arms, their feet, and they were slung into the fire. No one that way. They could see the fire. They could see how high it was, how hot it was. You know they had to feel it just a little bit. They had to see what was going on, and they went dumb. They know what would happen if they fell into the fire. And the Bible says they were bound up. But let me tell you why you don't give up on your faith. Look what it says. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste, spake, and said to the counselors, did we not perish 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Then answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. What did the fire do to them? They were free in the fire.
Yeah.
They were free in the fire. How do you know they were free? How do you know they were free? They were free of what the world had binded them in.
Amen.
The world binded them up in their hands and their feet. Once they got thrown in the fire, what happened? They had done bounded. They were down on their hands and their knees. And the king looked in there and he said, my goodness, what's going on? These boys, they ain't bound. They're up, walking. Yeah. They're loose. And they have no heart.
Amen.
They ain't bound. saying it God did right there.
Amen. Amen.
How many people went into the fire?
Three.
How many people come out of the fire?
Three.
That tells you that when your fire comes, the Lord is still there.
Amen.
You're still be there in the fire building. The only thing that burned him up was what the world put on him. That's the only thing that burned him. They were unharmed. They were unhindered. Everything that bound them up was all loose. And they stood. Look what it says. I love this right here. This is why you don't get out right here. So then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Then with a coat changed, with the smell of fire passed on them. Listen to that right there. I mean, you pay attention to those words right there. They had just been in the fire. You can't even walk around nobody that's smoking and not have that smell on you. You can't have a fire pit. You can't be around a bonfire without that smell. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword.
That's right.
They didn't shine the light back on God. They said, it's not even about us. When you stand, it's not about you. It's about God. And what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? We're going to stand. We're not going to bow. And they opened Nebuchadnezzar's eyes to God. They seen God. He seen God. They stood for the right things. And the Bible says, there's no other God that can live by this. He said, my golden image to God said, I've been serving. They wouldn't have been able to keep them out of this. And notice what he said there. He kind of answered his own question, did he not? When he said, what did he say right here? He said at the end of that verse 29, there's no other God that can deliver after this sword. But if we remember when we started reading in verse 15, it said right there at the end of it, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?
Amen.
He said who God was. And not only that, look at these three Hebrew boys, they were persecuted, right, for their stand, for their standards. They were persecuted for their Savior because of what they were going to do. They were different in the way they lived. There was something going along with the world. They were probably laughed, mocked at, saying, you fool, you know you want to die. Won't you just go ahead and just bend down and bow with us and just be a part of us? I'll be okay when we'll be saved. You can always come back and you can pray tonight when you get home and just hold on to God and forgive you for that. Your word says, Bible forgives you, right? There's a time to stand. And these boys said, time to stand.
Amen.
He said, we're going to say it. And we don't care what it costs us. And not only did it not cost them their life, right? Because they were persecuted and promoted. Or that's the third one. They were promoted. Persecuted, preserved, and promoted. Look at your last verse in the Bible. Then he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the prophets of Babylon. Their faith brought deliverance. Their faith brought protection. Their faith brought reward. And their faith brought glory to God.
Amen.
That's what they did. They were ready to say it to God. I wonder today, how many of you are ready to make a commitment to God? Where's your commitment lie? Well, we've all made commitments. We all make commitments. Everybody makes a commitment for something in life, right? If you say you're going to do something for somebody, you pretty much make a commitment. If you want to be together in a relationship, you pretty much make a commitment. What about your commitment to God today? What about your commitment to where He wants you to be? What about your commitment to church? I'm telling you, I've been excited about Brother Ken coming this week, and I think God's going to move in my way.
Amen.
You need to be here this week because your Bible's going to help somebody. And what you hear this week, what God might have spoke to you today, or what you'll hear this week, might get you ready for your fire trial that's coming. James didn't talk about that. Remember when he talked about that? When various trials, come, he said when. He didn't say yet. He said when they come. Oh, there's trials coming.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all think to live God, you shall suffer persecution. You try to say the right things, you're going to be persecuted on this thing. But I'm glad God will be right there with us.
Amen.
There is a song where Josh doesn't sing, when everybody else walks out, that's when he walks in.
Amen.
Well, ain't that a song? When everybody else walks out, he walks in. I'm glad that there's one that's going to stand with me. What about you today? Is it true? Is it true about the world? What are you saying? Or will you give in to the ways of the world? Will you give in to the ways of the world so you can keep the job or you can keep the paycheck coming? Or I'm a father and I'm a husband. Everything depends on me and how I do. I better make sure that I keep money going. Let me tell you something. Your job as a father and a husband is to be the leader of the house. And to be the leader of the house means that you have God, haven't you?
Right.
You ain't no leader without God. Matter of fact, Jesus said to that me, you can do that. John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. Without God, there is absolutely nothing that I can do. With God, I can do all things through Christ. With Christ, who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Excuse me. I love that verse too. Through Christ. All the things I can do. Well, it's pretty hard to say in preacher. We've got to do those things with God. You gotta ask Jesus to help you when you say it. He'll give you the boldness you need. As a matter of fact, to be a Christian today, and even if somebody here, I promise I know it. It's almost like whatever you tolerate today is what's going to be tomorrow.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't understand, they just learned it. What tolerant means is, well, it's okay, everybody's values gotta be equal, everybody's lifestyles, everybody's standards, everybody's faith, it's all on an equal playing field. No, that ain't what's right and right, what's wrong is wrong. Jesus says, I'm the way to church and life. There's no way you get in heaven beside Jesus. But the Bible says, the Bible is the final authority in life. That's your instruction, guys. That's your instruction manual in life, the Bible.
Amen.
And I believe we're standing for it. And it might be one day that I'm going to die for it. But whatever they do to me, you know what? It might come a day, you know what? They might throw me in prison for preaching God's word. They might hang me in the courthouse. I don't know what they'll do. But whatever my sufferings come by standing with God is just temporary. My reward is eternal. That's why we stand, because your reward will be eternal. Mr. Lawrence, will you come to the piano, please? Let's all stand this morning. Maybe you just need to come pray. Maybe you've got some things going on in your life and you feel it's hard for you to stand. Maybe you're going through some things in your life that you just don't understand. And there's nothing wrong with having questions in life. There's a lot of things to question God. But when's the last time you just kneel down and you ask God to give you some wisdom, to give you some direction, to give you some guidance of what you need in your life? Maybe you know somebody today that's going through a fiery furnace and you just want to come pray for them. These altars are open this morning. Do you know anybody that's lost that needs to be saved? Would you come pray for them?
Would you come and pray for yourself today that God would give you the boldness to stand when that time comes? You know what? Everything might be going so well in your life. No problems, no issues. Everything might be well at your home, in your marriage, at your job. Everything might be just be going wonderful. And I have it is. And I'm telling you, there's coming a time when you better be ready to stand. Will you stand? Do you love the Lord enough? How much do you love God? I tell you, how you live your life shows what you think of God and what He means to you. It shows how precious your salvation is, how you act, what you do. What do you need today? You might have something else going on today. You just might need to come pray. I tell you this much, if you're here today and you're lost, if that trial comes, and you burn in that fire, you're not going to heaven. Today would be a good day to get saved if you're lost. And when that trial comes, and you know what? You are persecuted for your faith. And God carries you on home. Pay attention, church. When God carries you on home, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it this morning. Do you have anything on your heart this morning? Would you just come pray?